appreciate the opportunity of being together again today. This is a day that our nation, anyhow, sets aside to recognize Father's Day. And I think just a few weeks ago, set aside a day to recognize as Mother's Day. And I think that's a good thing. I think what's good about it is it's a time for each of us to reflect on ours, our mothers, our fathers on those days, and to let it be a challenge to us. If ours was a good example to me, let me take that as a challenge that, Lord, I want to be able to have that in my life. Should ours have failed, that we be able to say, Lord, I tell you what, on today, I'm thankful that you're my Heavenly Father. You've never failed me. And help me to be able to profit from the mistakes that my father may have made. I think mostly today about God's plan for a father. You know what? If there's ever in our nation, in our world, a successful father, it's because there was a God in heaven that programmed him, and he was willing to follow that. There are a couple of stories that have stood out to me in the past. One of you all have heard it. It was years ago when it happened. It was to the Baxter children in Florida. My understanding of it was that a couple little girls had gone over to their sister's house and was playing out in the back, and there was a canal out there that has a steep drop off to it, would be hard to get out of. And the two of them fell in. Well, their father was not there. There wasn't a father to be a hero, their father to be a hero to them. But what stood out to me was there was a neighbor man that looked and saw it and jumped in and I believe rescued one and then drowned, I believe trying to rescue the other one. And what has always stood out to me is, why would a person give his life? And then we found out, you know what? He was a father. He had children of his own. And there was a God-given instinct inside of him that said, I'll give of myself. So this really today goes back to the God of heaven made a plan that if a man will do it, if he will die to himself, he'll be able to fulfill the plan that God had for a father or for men of our nation. There was another story that a housekeeper at work told me. It was her nephew that had 12 children, and he would take times to say, you know what, okay, we're going to do something special together. And that would be quite a sacrifice to be able to take care of 12 children. But he took them out, and it was a time when it had rained a lot and the Canadian River was deep. And he took those children out and he said, we're going to take you fishing. Well, you know, that would be a job with one child, but he had 12 of them to watch over. And while they were there, two of them got to playing next to the bank and one in play, and they pushed one and he fell in. And then the one that did it realized, you know what, he's in trouble. So that one jumped in. There's two children now in the river. And you know, you think about a father, would he look on and say, you know what though, I got 10 here, that's still quite a few children, got to make a decision here, am I willing to take a chance, risk it? He didn't have to think about it. There's an instinct inside of a man to be a father. He jumped in, and somehow, I don't know how it happened, but he was able to get both to where the other children were able to get them. And then he went under and drowned right there in front of them. Those stories tell me about what a man can be when he's a real father. And it sets a real high watermark for me to say, you know what, we're living in such a selfish time where it's all about me. It's all about what makes me happy in life. And yet God all the time has this real high watermark for a man to be willing to give of himself for those around him, for the betterment of those around him. and it's been a challenge to me. Because that man, when he died, and they had his funeral, and she was telling me about it, they buried him on the day before Father's Day. You know, what a tribute to those children. If they were remembered out in their life, a father gave his life for me. I think of a verse over in John, the 15th chapter, 13th verse. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." And maybe to bring it in even closer than that, we could say, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his family." And so I think about that, you know, to us here today, what's the chance of us having an experience like that to where we physically die for our family? Maybe that would never happen. And yet to think about, you know what, we're called on every day to die to self, that there would be a betterment in my family. Comes down real close to home. You know, as a teenager, I would think about, you know what, I want to be a man, I want to show I'm a man. I can pick up this 100-pound feed sack and carry it across the way here. You know what? The better trait to be able to show that I'm a man is that when I see myself on display, that I can take a hold of it and get rid of it. Because that's what destroys families, is when I want to serve myself. And if there's any left over, then you can have some, but usually there's none left over. The world is crowded with it, and yet all the time there's this, and every once in a while it shines out in a story of a father that gave himself. Today I'd like to think about, just to share with you for a little bit, memories of my own. You know, I remember Dad was crippled just as long as I can remember. He was crippled, never was totally healthy. It was an effort for him just to get around. And, you know, he had to have early on made a decision. What am I going to do with life? Am I going to live it as poor me? Why can't I have health like other people? Or is he going to make the best out of what he has for life? I'm so glad that he made up his mind. I'm going to get the best of life that I can. I'm going to enjoy it to the fullest with my limitations. And having grown up in that home, I have a great regard, a great respect for handicapped people. Yes. That say, I won't let it stop me. Yes, I have limits. I see Aunt Nelda now. She could stay in her house and say, poor me. I don't have the health. I don't have the legs, the strength like other people have. Poor me. And instead, she goes out and she gets the most out of life that she can. And I see a lot of handicapped people doing that. And when they do, instead of drawing into themselves and having the poor me attitude, I have a high respect, a high regard for those. And I think about with Job, the example that he gave us, when things steadily was taken away from him till he had nothing, he had choices to make. You know what he could have said then? He could have drawn into himself and poor me. God has forsaken me. He gave me these things and now he's taken away and I'm upset at him. But instead, in all this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. Went on to the point to where his health now goes away. And he still, to his wife, he said, should we not receive good and also be able to receive evil? Have good things happen in my life and also bad things can happen in my life. And I still carry on. I remember Dad telling us that they weren't expecting him to live out of his 20s to start with because of the disease he had, of muscular dystrophy. But when he did, then the doctor told him, said, do not marry. Don't ever get married because you do not want this disease to be spread. Don't want it to. And they said, should you not take our advice, should you get married, don't ever have children because this disease spread, it just gets worse. You know, I'm so glad that was one trait of Dad's. He wouldn't listen. Because I thought about it, his funeral, there was like 64 people there together from a man that said, you know what, that doc says one thing, but I'm going to do something different. I was so glad But you know that that disease went along and it pulled him down. It drew down on him. But he didn't let it get him down.
That's right.
He was to the point where he can't get around. And the folks are all the time trying to come up. And I appreciate in our country, I know it costs a lot of money, but I appreciate in our country that money is spent to try to help a handicapped person be able to, you know, the buggies that people can go on now, the little electric scooters, have made it to where handicapped people can have more access to life. So they came along with Dad whenever I was young, and he could not, but he lost, you know, we never think about it, but he lost the ability to lift his toe as he would walk. We don't think about it. But you know what? If when you walk, your toe drags, you won't walk very far before you fall. And that's what he couldn't walk, because he couldn't lift his foot. So they came up with a brace that he could strap on to his leg and hook to his shoe with a spring in it, that every time he took a step, it would raise his toe to where he could get around a little bit. Well, time passed on by, and he kept getting worse. It came to the point, you know, we hear the saying about if you're having trouble in your life, keep your chin up. Get your chin up. Well, he got to where the muscles, and we take it for granted, the muscles right here gave way to where a lot of times if you see him, his chin would be down on his chest. And it took a lot of effort for him to manually be able to raise his head. To the point that then they came out with this brace that he could stick around his neck and it would hold his chin up. Well, he was able to keep his chin up there, but you know what? More than just that mechanical brace, he made choices in his life that, you know what, okay, here's where I am, but I'm not going to let it get me down. When he died, he left to us children a large inheritance. Now, it wasn't in dollars. He about had it figured out that when he breathed his last, his money ran out too. It was gone. But there was something that was so much more valuable than that. What he taught us was that life is what you make out of it.
That's right.
To each of us here today, you might have things that just wasn't quite perfect. But I want to tell you, life is what you make out of it. You can let it get you down and you ruin the rest of your life, or get up on top of it. And I remember Dad telling us this saying, and it was his motto. He said, I complained because I didn't have any shoes till I met the man that didn't have any feet. There will always be people that have some, in some condition, worse than I am. And for me, in my condition, at any time that life deals me some blows, that I not let it stop me. That I pick up and I say, but here's what I do have, and I'll make something out of that. Some of the best memories were when we were at home. Now, some of them, Dad had good intentions with it. One of them was while I was at school one day, he was able to get around some, and he had a welder. And he took my bicycle and Mansell's bicycle, and he welded them together because it was just coming out that it was really neat to have a bicycle built for two. Well, he thought we'd be really excited about that, and we were for a few minutes, but most of the time we weren't getting along. Children don't get along real good, and they would rather go different places, and our bicycles would no longer go different places. They were stuck together. But he had those, he always had those thoughts, you know what, I want to do something for my children. I remember he would just take old bed frames, and he could make a motor run. So he would weld together something to make us a little go-kart that we'd be able to get around on. I remember him taking an old bus and all of us children together and mom getting out there working on it and getting it fixed up to 1 year living in Louisiana. And we went up to left there in that old bus and we went, look, kind of like gypsies. We went to a South Carolina meeting and the West Virginia or the Kentucky meeting, went over to California and up, and we made it back through to where we were at Monarch and then back home again. Those were a lot of real good memories. And you know what? There were no doubt times that he would say, boy, I'd feel a whole lot better just sitting at the house. I just don't want to get out. But those are memories that I have of my dad. And you know, maybe if we summed it up in just one word, the thing that is the most important is giving. If I could sum up his life, and what stands out to me was his willingness to give when he really didn't maybe think he had very much to give. There's a verse in Psalms 37:37. It says, "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace." So what I say, well, I'll tell you what, looking over my dad's life, he was a perfect man. There was never any problem. I don't think any one of us would be able to say that about a parent, that, you know what, I never saw a problem. So what do I do with this? There's sometimes when we read this verse, if they weren't perfect in all areas, when some people aren't perfect in all areas, we might throw out the whole thing. But I find in this one that what's good for me to do on Father's Day is to be able to look for those areas that were perfect and say, I want to build those in my life. Areas that were not so perfect, to be able to say, you know what, I don't want that to carry on in my life. I want to be able to make a change in that in this generation. So you think about his willingness to give, his willingness to die to self. Boy, it seemed like that's something you just ought to inherit. If he can do it, then children ought to be able to do it. But you know what? Each generation, each of us today, it doesn't matter how good our father may have done it, each of us today have to make choices about what we will do. Because here's one that stands out to me, is when my boys were young, we were living in Tulsa, and money's tight. Boy, there's just not enough money to go around. And somehow in my mind, you can always, the grocery budget is the one that will always fix it. That's where the money's going. Well, I was eating it all to start with. But somehow I just thought, you know what, if Cheryl can tighten that grocery budget up, that's going to fix it. Well, then one day, while we have that, and I'm thinking there's where the problem is, I saw a motorcycle that I just had to have. This is going to be great. I've got to have this. And you know what? At that time, I was able to find how it could fit in the budget. It could do it. When before, it was groceries every week that couldn't do it. You know, what that did, it had a price tag attached to it. Because what it tells, not just to my wife, but it also tells to my children is, who's number one here? You know, sometimes there can be men, there can be dads that say, I tell you what, I'm going to be first. It's a sad thing to even think it exists, but it does. There are some that the dad will, if there's anything left, children, you can have it. If there's any of my time left, which there's usually not, then you'll be able to have some of it. But for me, in my life, to be able to say, you know what, areas that the Lord checks me on, if I can profit from my dad's willingness to give of himself, I want to put that into my life. And there's another place I want to think about for just a little bit is probably every one of us can look back over the past and say, boy, I wish I could redo that area of my life. Well, you know what? There's not a thing we can do about the past. But there is a verse over in Philippians where Paul had some things in his life that, you know, he probably wished it had never happened. Wished he could roll back the past. But Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached the end yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." For me to say, you know what, those areas in my life where I say, that didn't work so well for my family, that was not the best thing to do, that I would be able to say, I'm going to profit by that, but I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm going to let it be a profit to me in the future. And to us here today, where there have been in our families fathers that did less than a goal for us, I think about, you know, where does that fit in for Father's Day for us? Because you know what? It also tells me, you know what? I've got to be real careful lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble us and many be defiled by things that have happened in the past. And I'm reminded as Stephen was about to be stoned and he was praying, don't let this sin be to their charge. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I want to tell you, for fathers that were less than fathers, it was because they did not know what they were missing out on. The devil blinded their eyes to what they were missing out on. So for us to be able to say, Heavenly Father, I'd like for you to forgive them because they didn't know. If they had only known, they would have done it different. I was looking in Webster's, the definition of a father. It's got a real simple definition. He who begets a child. So maybe this needs to be Happy Dad's Day. Because I think about, we need something deeper than a father that just begets a child. I think today we're living in a time where so many celebrities, so many high profile athletes, they see a father role as nothing more than this. And you'll hear them refer to it. Across the country, I have trophies. I have children scattered across the country that are a trophy to me. Trophies stand up on a counter and collect dust. Children may live 80 years without the role model of a father. I remember a few years ago, our country said, we've got to correct this problem. What can we do to change this problem? You remember Promise Keepers? That seems like a long time ago now. The Million Man March. We've got to make a change in our country. And the purpose was to get men to accept their role as a husband, as a father, to step in and say, I'll change, I'll break this cycle. I'm going to take responsibility for my family. I'm going to be there for them. To quit living a loose life. They were saying with this Million Man March, it's time for commitments. It's time for pledges. Was it successful? Maybe to some extent. I believe those men really had a desire. I want to make a change. But you know what happens is, it's more than me signing a piece of paper that I'm going to make a change. What happens is tomorrow, when something comes up that I'm going to need to die to myself, I've got to die. I've got to be able to do that, not just tomorrow, but every day. And that is what's caused that Million Man March to not be so successful. Because it's more than just marching to the Capitol or going 20 miles on a march. It's tomorrow when things are not favorable for me and I choose my way instead of the betterment of the family that it causes a problem. I was thinking about the answer to it all is in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, that when things are in my favor, when things are not in my favor, I give of myself. And I think about the example that was set before us. First of all, just the one that we all know, the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave. Giving was what he did. He gave his only begotten son. And then Christ, the example that he gave us in the second chapter of Philippians, where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He took upon himself a form of a servant. To me, that is the example for fathers today, is who am I serving? You know, I want to be more real careful that my desire to serve doesn't start way out there, but it starts right in my home, that this is where I am in a place to serve. We had just a few weeks ago, Mother's Day, a tribute to mothers fulfilling the role that God has given them. But you know, today is to fathers. And so many of the women that are forced to go out and try to help make the living, the father has a responsibility. For it to work right, the father is the one to get out there and take care of the providing that needs to be done. For a mother to be a keeper at home, there's got to be a father that takes, there's got to be somebody that steps in to provide. And to do that, for the men, sometimes that means there needs to be less toys. You know, because as a man gets older, the toys just increase in price tag. And if I'm not careful, those are the primary. And if I have any left over, it's for the family. Don't want that. We see that all around us in the world today. There is something that I would like for us to think about. A goal for a father. Have you ever heard this term before? A sacrificial anode. I'd wonder, well, what is that? They have them, you buy them at the plumbing store. If you have a hot water heater and you don't put one of these on it, and you live in a place that has a lot of minerals in your water, it's just a few years and a metal tank is eaten up. Your hot water heater is ruined. So they came up with this idea that they take a magnesium rod, a sacrificial anode, and they screw it into that water heater. And those minerals attack the anode instead of the water heater. And the life of that water heater is prolonged a long time. In fact, to the point that when it's completely consumed, if you'll be on guard doing your maintenance, you pull that out and put another one in its place, and it keeps on eating up that anode. Well, I look at us today, promise keepers. It's going to take more than me saying I'll march the 20 miles with you because I want to make a commitment. No, it is that tomorrow I'm willing to sacrifice of myself for the betterment of my home. And I think about children. You know, sometimes I used to think, well, there's a Mother's Day. There's a Father's Day. When's the Children's Day? It's all the rest of them. The mother and father are giving to the children all the rest of the time. But I thought, as a child, you know, a lot of times we're selfish of what can mom and dad do for me. But I've watched every once in a while with a child. I've seen it happen at our home. And the children would, Brian, just a little boy that normally he ought to be thinking just about himself, you would think. But in he comes with a handful of flowers with dirt still dropping off of them. And he's thinking about somebody. Grandma, I got these for you. Well, you know, they may be some of them that he brings in. She has to look at it to see, well, does this have any poison ivy with it or what is it? But it's the thought that he has is, where normally I would be selfish, a thought comes to me for somebody else. And, you know, those are the times when a child is the happiest is when he is no longer thinking about himself, but he's thinking about somebody else. I think that's a part of how God made us. Because it really doesn't change as I get older. It continues on. I can live to myself, but the very happiest that I will be is when I give, when I'm willing to give to someone else, and most of all, in my family. I would like for us in closing to sing the song number 253. A lot of times when we sing that song, we're "Let Us Ever Love Each Other," we think of that as, okay, I need to do that to mankind. I need to look at it around me. But you know what? In my own life, and I'm glad that we have these reminders of Father's Day and Mother's Day, is that I would be reminded that I would give of myself for the betterment of my home, first of all, but then that it would be able to reach out to others. Because really, that's where we have true happiness. There are so many people that are trying to pursue happiness. If I could just get this, I would be happy. When true happiness comes from me giving of myself, I desire prayer.